Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
All together, why don't we all go up one flight of stairs so we can get to the second floor?
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor.
You know I'm starting the program on the second floor. That's right, his name is Luca. Put some respect on it. He lives on the second floor.
That's right.
And also, he snatches souls. Why don't we play a quick trivia game while we're up here on the second floor? Do you know the all-time points per game leader in the playoffs? That's easy. No trick question. Of course, it's my co-star in the greatest sports movie ever made, MJ. 33.5 per in the playoffs for his career. That's easy. But do you know who's right behind him in playoff scoring? Do you know who is the only other player in the history of the NBA playoffs to average more than 30 a game? I'll give you a hint. He knocked in another 35 last night at the Crypt. I'll give you another hint if you need it. He resides on the second floor. His name is Luca. He lives on the second floor, and this dude is on a basically never-ending playoff heater. And now that his effort and impact are way up defensively as well, this dude is straight-up nightmare fuel. Ask the Clippers. Just ask the Clippers. Just ask playoff P. Pandemic P. Just ask the fat suit. James Larden. Harden. Just ask Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook.
You could even ask Kawhit. Street clothes. Kawhi Leonard. He had the best view of all of them. He had a front row seat for that carnage. Hey, remember when this was supposed to be the best series in the first round? Remember how this was supposed to be so tight, so competitive, so personal, so evenly matched? Right, neither do I. Because last night, obviously, was the critical game in this series so far. Game 5 always is. The series was tied up at 2 games apiece. The Clippers had that game at home, right up the road at the Crypt. And what do they do? What did they do? They did what they always do. They took a big dump in their pants.
You have a big dump in your pants.
They didn't just lose. They got hammered. It wasn't just humiliating. It wasn't even competitive. A 30-point beatdown. A 30-point blowout beatdown. At home, in a critical game. Thanks for coming. Thanks for nothing. Although I will say this, I guess technically it won't really be their home for very much longer. In fact, technically, that might have been the very last Clipper game ever at Crypto.com Arena. And if that was actually the last Clipper game at the Crypt, what a fitting send-off, right? What a fitting send-off. In the midst of this thought, I'm wondering, why am I not getting a good phone call? 1-800-636-8686. Phone call, sure. But why am I not getting a good phone call? Maybe it's because the Clipper way was right there for everybody to see. And what's more Clipper way than for the Clippers to bow out of the Crypt than for the Clippers to clip? Last night was a quintessential performance for the Clippers clipping and gagging on a game they had to have. Which is why I've never really understood the appeal of the fat suit from the beginning. Now, I'll give you this. For about 5 seconds, I did get sucked in. For about 5 seconds, I did get sucked in like, man, I hate this idea. I hate it. Wait a minute. Maybe this could work. Wait a minute. Maybe they are competitive. For about 5 seconds. And then you remember, a team that can never get it done in the playoffs, when it matters, turning to the dude that can never get it done in the playoffs when it matters. Right? I mean, how logical is that? Not at all. So what do? Fast forward to last night's box score. Lardon, 2-for-12 from the field. 1-of-7 from beyond the arc. 7 total points. Minus 25 for the evening. Sounds about right. Fat suit, minus 25. The fat suit only ever does one thing when you really need him. That. And when he no longer needs you, he dons the fat suit. That's been this dude's MO for a long time now. However, he certainly was not the only Clipper out there clipping it up last night. Pandemic P only came up with 15 points. Westbrook bricked his way to a classic Westbrook 2-for-11 night. Oh, yeah, and Kawhi did what he seemingly does best these days. He sat and he watched. Gotta think the Steve Ballmer's just pumped. He's gotta be so hyped. Yeah, I doubt that guy was doing that last night. But, he's gotta be thrilled that he's gonna bring this product into his new multi-billion dollar edifice. You know, the one with all the toilets.
Toilets!
He probably put all those toilets in so his roster feels right at home. That way, they can take a dump in them instead of in their own pants or on their own hardwood or on their own fans. Instead, they can use the millions of toilets that Ballmer is so proud to have installed. I'm not even sure after seeing that laydown. After seeing that laydown slash beatdown in the crypt, if this team even deserves to play in that dated music venue converted forum, much less a brand new multi-billion dollar edifice with toilets everywhere. I mean, do they really deserve that? Did you see that game last night? Do they deserve to run in a multi-billion dollar edifice with billions of toilets? Yeah, I don't think. I'm not even sure they deserve to run in the forum. I'm not even sure they deserve to run in the rubble of the now-destroyed L.A. Sports Arena. Is there a local Y in Inglewood they could run in? If there is, that's where they should put the Clippers. That's what they look like last night. Look, I don't want to be unfair either, because there really is no shame in getting worked by that dude up on the second floor. Pretty much everybody does, even though he's all banged up and he hasn't been right. But there's no shame in that. There's no shame in getting worked by that dude on the second floor. Even if he was banged up and sick and had to come down from the second floor to beat their ass, there's no shame in that. He's clearly the best player in the series, and by a lot also. So no shame in that dude coming down from the second floor, beat up, and beating your ass. However, enormous shame in not even showing up. Enormous shame in not even competing in a game like that. Enormous shame in losing by 30 in your own house in the biggest game of the season. Especially when you're running cringe-tastic and cheese-tastic stunts on the ad billboards outside of the crypt. Apparently, Clipper's gonna clip on the inside of the building and the outside of the building as well. Yo, Clips, if you're going to try to taunt the Mavs using a billboard for a travel company, can you at least show up for the game? Maybe you saw it. Dallas to Cancun. That's what the billboard was advertising. Outside the arena, Dallas to Cancun. Flights from Dallas to Cancun, as in the Clippers will be sending the Mavs to Cancun. Hilarious. Except, sure they won't. Man, did that stupid billboard backfire. Great idea. Whose idea was that? Not only did the Clippers no-show for the game, it actually seems like they took inverted inspiration from that billboard. The Clippers saw that billboard on their way into the arena and they were like, oh, snap! That's right! nearly forgot to book our Cancun flights. Let's say it together now. 1, 2, 3, Cancun! Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. The Clippers saw that billboard and they thought it was a reminder for them, not the Mavs. Like, oh yeah, wow. So awesome of the marketing team to remind us of the flight that we have to book. That's right, because Game 6 is in Dallas. So we shouldn't be booking L.A. to Cancun. We need to book Dallas to Cancun. Go back there, get our asses beat again, jump a bird, be on a beach in a few hours. You know, once we get bounced in Dallas, we can bounce straight to Mexico. Very thoughtful of you, management. You guys know us so well. Let me tell you something. The only thing more cringe than that stupid billboard was the even dumber retraction by the Clippers when they tried to make it go away and they tried to fix it. Here's what the Clippers had to say about that dumb billboard. Quote, "The billboard at LA Live is not owned or operated by the Clippers. We have the utmost respect for our opponents and in no way endorse this message."
That is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Is it on your property? Is it outside of your building? Endorse what message? Quote, "We in no way endorse this message." Endorse what message? What, retweets do not count as an endorsement? Didn't want any of that? Endorse what message? Dallas to Cancun? It's not that deep, guys. It was a silly troll attempt, and it blew up on you. I don't think you need to hire a crisis control firm to tell us that you have the utmost respect for your opponents. Guess what? They don't have any respect for you. And neither does anybody else after that game. Because the Clippers just can't stop clipping every chance you get. And just so we're clear, no shame in losing. No shame in losing to that dude on the second floor, but lots of shame in not showing up. Lots of shame in getting blown out in Game 5 on your floor in what might be the last game you ever play there. But then again, hey, Clipper fan, don't worry. Clipper fans, or in this case, fan, don't worry. I'm sure the team knows the utmost importance attached to Game 6. They know it's win or go home. They know the high stakes. All or nothing. Desperation time. They know pressure. They know pressure. They know pressure is a privilege. Just ask Playoff P.
I think the beauty of it is the older I've gotten, the less pressure has been, honestly. I think, you know, when it comes down to it, you work your tail off all summer. You train for these moments to where, you know, if you fail, you fail. But, you know, you just go out there and you give it all you have. Live with the results. But as far as pressure, not anymore. I don't feel that pressure anymore. I'm not out there to prove nothing to anybody.
Obviously, we saw. Nothing says all on the line more than go out there and give it all you have. I mean, my man, take it down a notch. Take it down a notch, Participation P. Your intensity for Game 6 is shaking my studio, Passive P. I'm sure the Mavs heard that. I'm sure the Mavs heard that, and they're thanking their lucky stars for that win. Passionless P. When the Clippers do get ousted in Game 6, they don't deserve to go to Cancun. If the Mavs were listening, they had to put up their own billboard outside of American Airlines Center for Amtrak. They had to put up an ad for L.A. to Riverside. In fact, I'm not even sure that they're good enough for Riverside. No offense, Riverside. If the Clippers are going to lay down like that again, make it L.A. to Chatsworth. L.A. to Van Nuys. L.A. to Hemet. L.A. to Menifee. That's for you, V. L.A. to Norco. L.A. to Fontucky. If there were a camera in my face right now, I'd look into it and say, I endorse this message. Kawhi chilling poolside is laughing at this team. And he's on this team. Sometimes. Is anybody surprised by what they saw last night? So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. We are joined right now by Kevin O'Connell. Kevin, always great to have you on the show. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to be back on with you, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Kevin. Thanks for making time. Let me jump right into it. In terms of the draft, of course, you move up. You take J.J. McCarthy with the 10th overall pick. I'm curious, what were the opening minutes of the draft like in your war room as other guys were coming off the board and you were waiting for your chance to get your guy?
Yeah, I think anytime you start seeing quarterbacks go off the board or any other players that you're really kind of highlighting on your board, you get a little uneasy in the moment, but I have to credit Kwesi, Adolfo Menta, our GM, and his staff as far as we went through every possible scenario, Jim, that we really saw playing out. And there were still some surprises that took place, you know, with a couple of the picks maybe in front of us that caused us to, you know, have some conversations in the moment. But we all felt incredibly prepared. Went into the draft with a mindset of having a real goal to try to add that quarterback. We went through a full quarterback kind of process, both in-house here with tape and hosting prospects, but also got out off campus a little bit to go visit these guys and spend a lot of time with them. So we felt like we had really identified a player in J.J. McCarthy that if we could come out of the draft with J.J., but then, Jim, also add high impact defensive starter potentially that we valued greatly in that first round. What an opportunity to get it done, and we were able to do so.
You did so in adding Dallas Turner. Kevin O'Connell is joining us. So, Kevin, one thought about J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, there's a lot to like about him. He is a winner. We know this. He's got really good intangibles. But in doing all the work that you did, what was it about his skill set and his makeup that made you want to bring him in?
Yeah, I think he's off the charts from an intangible standpoint. So you can kind of check that box pretty quickly when you spend even a couple moments with JJ, and then you start learning what people that spend a lot of time around him, teammates, coaches, other folks in the Michigan building. There's very few people that don't just sing their praises for JJ, you know, anytime that you ask them, in some cases unprompted even, just because of the love and admiration they had for him as a person and a player, leading them to a national championship. But then you dive into the tape, Jim, and you start really seeing the skill set that you want to build around and really pour into. He's still a young guy. He's only 21 years old, but he's already had success at every level he's ever played at. And then when you really start seeing him play quarterback, you see the things that you look for: accuracy. He's got good arm strength. He's got a nice, clean release and one that's repeatable, and that you can build a foundation as you continue to develop and grow the lower body mechanics that go into it. But then also the toughness, the smarts, the football understanding, the way he operated multiple aspects of that Michigan offense to make it go. Really cool things to see as you really got to know who J.J. McCarthy really was, and very fortunate to add him to our team.
Minnesota Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell joining us once again. So, Kevin, you also added Sam Darnold as a free agent last month. I recently spoke with former NFL quarterback Jordan Palmer, who obviously knows Sam well. Kevin, he's worked with him for years. He told me that Sam is going to thrive with you and thrive in your system. I'm curious, do you know how you're going to approach it? For instance, is there going to be a competition between Sam and JJ for the starting job at training camp? How do you approach that?
Yeah, I think I've learned in the NFL, Jim, the most competitive environments you can create normally allow guys to really grow and develop and hunt, chasing the best version of themselves, which will only then help the team win. And ultimately, we want to create that not only at the quarterback position, but all over our football team. But I think when you take a look at really what Sam Darnold was coming into this league, some of the certain situations that he's been in. I thought he really benefited from a year with Kyle and out there in San Francisco, and saw some, you know, kind of the next phase in his growth and development. I think Sam's in a prime position at this point to really come into an offense and compete at the quarterback position with the likes of, you know, the other quarterbacks in the room. But how about the guys he's going to be able to throw the ball to? And Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, Aaron Jones out of the backfield with Ty Chandler. And then you talk about our offensive line. Anytime you can have a quarterback, you know, dropping back behind two really, really good tackles, that sets the stage for a very productive possibility for a guy. And then our offense is built for the quarterback to just go in and do his job, snap in and snap out. And I think Sam is more than capable of coming in here and doing that. And then also with JJ, we don't want to put a governor on him by any stretch. We want him to grow and develop, you know, each and every day, every moment we have with him, but also understanding that, you know, we have Sam Darnold, and we also have a premier learning environment for JJ to grow and ultimately become the best version of himself. When that process triggers the idea of putting him on the field and getting him you know, real snaps with our first team throughout the offseason, that'll take care of itself. And then ultimately, as we go into the season, we're going to put the best player out there that gives us a chance to win football games each and every Sunday. And I think that's the most important thing to do, while understanding that JJ's long-term development is a really high ceiling. And we want to make sure we don't do anything in our control to possibly jeopardize that.
Kevin O'Connell is joining us. That's such sound advice, I think, for all of us. None of us should put a governor on ourselves. I like that. I like all that, actually. Kevin, you mentioned Aaron Jones. I was going to ask you about him. Now, he's been coming on this show for years. I like so many things about him personally and professionally. Kevin, in an era where some teams, seem to view running backs as pretty interchangeable, why was this guy the guy you wanted, and what do you see him bringing to that offense?
Yeah, from the moment that I found out that would even be a possibility to add Aaron to our team, there wasn't a lot of moments that went by that I wasn't focusing on making Aaron Jones a Minnesota Viking when we were able to do so. I offered to drive over there to Green Bay and pick him up myself if he was up for it, just because it's clearly, Jim, you know Aaron Jones, the player, what kind of impact he is both in the run game and in the past game for many, many years, we've seen it firsthand here in Minnesota. But then you get to know the person, the leader, the dynamic personality that, you know, really makes everybody around him better on a daily basis. We're only 3 weeks into our offseason program, Jim, but I already feel that impact from Aaron Jones, and I think his teammates are feeling it, and we just couldn't be more happy to have that guy in our backfield with the rest of our running back group, knowing that he's going to be a real weapon for us offensively in both the run and the pass game.
So, Kevin, one last thought. You mentioned at the very top you're also looking to get that impact player defensively, and you did that. You moved up to the 17th pick, and you took Alabama outside linebacker Dallas Turner. This is a guy who piled up 23.5 sacks in 42 games with the Crimson Tide. I mean, like you said, you prepare for every scenario. How confident were you, though, that you'd be able to move up and get that guy particularly?
To be honest, Jim, like, we didn't really go into it thinking that that was even a realistic scenario. We knew with multiple quarterbacks, potentially six going in the top 12, definitely some offensive linemen, the three receivers for sure would go as talented as those guys are. We felt like we had a chance to maybe benefit from the fact that we've got some pretty darn good receivers, you know, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison in-house already, and Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw at the tackle positions kind of put us in a place in the draft where we really could, right time, right place, benefit from one of the top defensive players on our board potentially being there in a year, unlike others where those guys and a guy like Dallas Turner would be long gone by that range of picks, where you'd even have the opportunity to engage with other teams about possibly moving up. And to say that we were able to get J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner while preserving not only both first-round picks to do it, but also future first-round picks, was pretty remarkable in my mind, knowing how we had the players graded and their potential impact on our team.
I mean, such a great job. What a great job. What a great draft, and what a great situation for any quarterback to drop into. And I love that division. That division, to me, has never been more interesting than it is right now. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings. Kevin, let it be known, I appreciate the relationship very much. It's always great to talk to you, and thanks so much for making time. It's great to have you in the jungle.
Great to be on, Jim. Thank you so much for having me.
So good to have you, Kevin. Appreciate you, man. Very, very much. And I do. I say that. I appreciate every guest that comes on, because there's lots of options and they got to make time for it, especially a head coach in the NFL. I love that guy. Hey, listen, I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around, a product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't. Because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. Clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop two or three in your mouth, you suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right, or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code Rome. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code Rome, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. All right, so I want to finish this thought on Canelo. I really did want to have Canelo on the show this week, and we actually are having Canelo on the show this week. Just not in the way that I thought we would. We were efforting him, and again, they pitched him to us, and they pitched him with an interpreter, and I said, yes and no. Yes, I would love to talk to Canelo. No, we do not need an interpreter. His English is good enough. Would have been great. It would have been his first time in the jungle. He doesn't do a ton of these one-on-one type interviews. So it was going to be fun. And it was supposed to happen yesterday, and then it didn't work out, unfortunately. So Canelo did not come up here in the jungle in the end. But did he ever show up for his pre-fight presser ahead of his upcoming undisputed super middleweight title defense? Canelo showed up to that presser fired up. Canelo showed up like he was showing up for the actual fight itself. It's just that his target was not his Saturday night opponent. He doesn't even have a real problem or issue with his opponent. But his target was none other than, quote, Oscar De La Cokehead. Now, not my gloss. I didn't make that up. I got that from Dana White.
Cokehead nutball.
Oscar De La Cokehead nutball.
Oscar De La Weirdo.
Oscar De La Weirdo.
Cocaine isn't cheap.
Cocaine is not cheap. I don't know. I've never bought it. But I would imagine cocaine is not cheap. Anyway, Dana was on one when talking about De La Weirdo. Anyway, De La Hoya, as many of you know, promoted Canelo for a decade. But then things went south, and now there is bad blood, very bad blood. And that bad blood boiled over in front of the world yesterday in Vegas. And for the most hilarious of reasons. And this is only part of it. I mean, the bad blood runs deep. But, and I don't think for a minute, this is the first time I think the two of them have been on the same stage together since they broke up. However, and there are a number of reasons why the two of them do not like each other anymore, but what triggered it yesterday was when, quote, De La Cokehead took a jab at Canelo for his positive test for a banned substance back in 2018. De La Cokehead taking a run at somebody else for failing a drug test. Now, that is rich. That's richer than the richest man in Babylon. Drug test. Oscar taking a run at somebody else for failing a drug test. That's rich. Canelo apparently thought so, too. So, Canelo hijacked the presser and then proved that he does have complete control and command of the English language.
He's a f***ing ass. That's what I say. He's a f***ing ass. He tried to keep the attention for him, not for Munguia. He's a f***ing ass. He steals his fighters. That's what he do.
Focus on your fight.
Okay, and yeah, so that's pretty much it. Go ahead, Miguel.
Motherf***er.
All right.
I'm here for you too, motherf***er.
Focus on your fight.
I mean, Canelo. Yo, bro, why are you holding back? Understand that Oscar is not that far from him. On the same dais, playing it off like it's all so funny. And Canelo is not being funny at all. Canelo is not trying to sell tickets to the fight. Canelo means it. I mean, how many F-bombs and MF-bombs did you hear in that? That dude was ready to let them hands go.
He's a
he went right to it. He's a bleeping a-hole. Mother bleeper. When have you seen Canelo like that? Yeah, I have no longer, not that I did anyway, but I have no such concerns about his command of the English language. Not after hearing that. And not even before, but especially not after hearing that. Well, at least what I can make out through all the bleeps.
He's a f***ing ass.
I mean, and if you saw it, it's one thing to listen to it. Listen to the guy. That's not a dude selling tickets, although he just sold a lot of tickets. But that's not a guy selling tickets. That is legitimate beef. And I mean the best kind of beef. Whatever the best kind of beef is, grass-fed, whatever. That was legitimate beef. That should get you ready for the beef segment next hour. Just save the MFs and the other F-bombs. But if you watch that, Canelo looked like he was ready to go right then and there. And he wasn't even done. He wasn't even done. Even at, can I hear that one more time, Alvin?
And he's a f***ing ass. That's what I say. He's a f***ing ass. He tried to keep the attention for him, not for Munguia. He's a f***ing ass. He steals his fighters. That's what he do.
Focus on your fight.
Okay, and yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Focus on your fight. Yeah, I am. You bleeping a-hole.
All right.
Focus on your fight, mother bleeper. All right. Like we missed the first three times he called him in a bleeping a-hole.
He's a f***ing ass.
So again, I don't think the intention was to sell tickets, although he did. Now, you probably didn't even know there was that fight, right? Unless you're a fight fan. Now you've probably thrown down already for the pay-per-view. My man was going to give you a free show. Hands included. He wasn't even done there. That was the presser. Then he sat down with the media afterwards and had not cooled off. He nearly did let the hands go at that point. He didn't just describe it as almost throwing the hands. He described it like this.
He insulted me and I don't want to permit that.
You look like you were going to punch him.
Yeah, I will. If he come closer, I f*** him. He's a f***ing ass. He tried to steal money for the fighters. He's a f***ing ass.
Would it give you bigger satisfaction by taking down Oscar's number one fighter?
I'm going to be so happy that night. You will see. I'm going to f***ing mother son of a bitch. He don't want to say anything when we are alone. And plus, he's mad because I'm leaving Golden Boy.
Seriously, when was the last time you heard a guy MF another guy in public like that in sports? I'm not sure I ever have. Over and over and over and over again. And props to my man Canelo in his second language, no less. Not only have I never heard that before, I've never heard a guy do it in his second language. Quote, if he came closer, I'd bleep him.
He come closer, I f*** him.
Yeah, maybe he's got to work on that part of his command of the English language. I'm not sure that's exactly what he meant. Listen to that part of it again, Albie.
He come closer, I f*** him.
If he'd come closer, I'd bleep him. That was in response to somebody saying, you look like you want to punch him. And Canelo's response was, oh yeah. If he came any closer, I'd bleep him.
If he come closer, I f*** him.
I think he might have left out a word or two in that description. But then he chased that with many more MF bombs, SOB bombs. I mean, find me anything that anybody hates as much as Canelo hates Oscar. And the thing that's blowing me away about this, I mean, again, I challenge you, find me anything anywhere that anybody hates as much as Canelo hates Oscar, because this is not Canelo. Canelo does not do this. He does not do this, yet he did it over and over and over again. Like I said, he was not doing this to sell tickets, although he sold tickets. But that's not who this guy is. Do you know how much he must hate this guy? Or how strongly he feels about how Oscar did him wrong for him to do this like that? Like it had been building and building and building and building and building, and they finally were in the same place at the same time, and it just all came out. Man, I can't help but wonder, and I'm not saying that anybody's perfect and that we haven't all made mistakes, but I go back way, way, way back to when Oscar fought. And although we don't know any of these guys, I've always said that, and nothing is what it appears, and now more so than ever on social media, where people are just perpetuating lies constantly. But Oscar really was the Golden Boy. Even if he was never quite the Golden Boy that we thought, I had done so many interviews with him when he was a fighter. Man, I'll admit it, I love the guy. Love the guy as a fighter. Loved it when he came on the show. So polished, so smooth, so gifted. And to see how far this guy has fallen, well, and how bloated he is, but that aside, it really is shocking that he's gone from the Golden Boy who could do no wrong to De La Cokehead status. And then a guy like Canelo is like,
Oscar De La Dummy.
All this guy does is steal for fighters. He steals from all his fighters. Clearly, Canelo thinks he stole from him, too. You don't go like that or act like that unless somebody has taken something from you or taken money from you. I know this. I would not look for Oscar this weekend to be going on about Canelo. He looks like a Adonis. Look at he looks at James. He looks like a Adonis.
Look at.
He's beautiful.
He looks like a Adonis.
Canelo, yo. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? What is your beef? Let's get right at it. You know how this is done. Beef about anything you want. Now, remember, I said earlier, I say it every single week, if you call before the beef segment, then you're allowed to call back during the beef segment. And then if you make it through both those calls, I'll even let you call a third time if you have enough game. Max called earlier. He went with the sales reset. Max, we did a little research on him. He was actually for a moment on the watch list last year for the Smackoff. Did not make it in. But if he gets racked twice today, maybe back to San Diego. Max, what's up? Welcome back.
Mr. Rum, once again, just following up with you. I do have a beef with Los Angeles traffic, but I will be there at noon with two things, Starbucks Cold Brew Nitro and solutions to your and Mystery Mike's problems.
Ah. Wow. No. See what I mean? It's hard.
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
Damn, dude. That went south quickly. I thought you were onto something. Like, I'm waiting. All right, so you're not on the watch list, my brother. You did get on the air twice. 1-800-636-8686. This time, let's go to San Diego. Michael, what's your beef? Go ahead, Michael. You're on the air. What's your beef? I got a beef. People who call to be on the beef segment but aren't ready when I go to them. This is not hard. Listen. If you're on hold, there is a better than 50% chance you will be on the air, and sooner than you think. If you're on hold, stay on hold, be ready. I'm coming to you. This is a shorter beef segment. I don't want to waste time resetting the rules of what you do and what you don't do. You're jamming up the process. This guy gets it, I'm sure. Let's go to Boise. Duke, what's your beef?
Hey, good afternoon, Jim. Yeah, listen, my beef is with people that constantly say, fill in the blank, can you believe it's whatever month it is? Yes, I can. It happens every year at the same time. I have a side beef with all the people that go, yeah, I know, right? Like, it's a shock. Learn how to read a calendar. Learn how to tell time. I'm out.
Yeah, boy. That gets me back on track. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, when in doubt, just go to Boise. Boise is a solid play. Let's try Tucson. Jackson in Tucson. Jackson, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim Rome, happy Friday, Junior. Listen, I got a beef with people who don't understand the concept of a flashing light, flashing red light, might be. Hey, loser, you've been on the road for 20-plus years. Figure it out. Go back to driving school. War Taylor Frith at the Madrid Masters. I'm out.
Happy Friday, Junior, to you, Jackson. 1-800.
Jackson?
Tucson? Listen, this thing's going fast. We're blowing right through it. be ready. Let's go to Houston. Kimberly. Kimberly, good to have you. What's your beef?
Hey, Rome. I'm here, and I wanted to say I'm glad that I'm here, but my beef is for my husband. And this man brought a bitch to my house, not an everyday bitch, but he brought a chocolate lab with a bad boy hip. And I tried to take her to walk and
That's not a good call. No.
Kimberly,
you don't like that.
It was not the content, but it was the quality of your phone line.
War Lady Clones.
Did you say you can try and call back, I guess, but I don't know that it's going to be better. If you can find a better phone line, did you just say, I don't think that's what it is, Alvin. Alvin said, we want to hear more about your bitch husband. I think what you said, y'all wanted to hear about, quote, the bitch the husband brought home, but it wasn't the bitch that you think. I think it was a dog. I had high hopes, Kimberly. I had really high hopes. It was your phone quality that got you run, not your content. You sounded good. Your callers are really disappointing me today. I'm not going to lie.
War Lady Clone.
Let's try Houston. George, what's your beef?
Roll me wrong. What's good, playboy?
What's good, dude?
Hey, man, my beef is with my neighbor, man, who's still across the street. Man, so this fool ride around on this little three-wheeler, snapping pictures of everybody's house in the neighborhood. I can only assume this clown works for the HOA. Well, look here, dog. For me, HOA means I'm hot on your ass. The next time I see you snapping pictures on my house or my driveway, I'm going to come across the street, adjust your camera lens, and then adjust your cataracts, bitch.
I love this guy so much. George in Houston has made it a habit to beef about, well, people that he wants to readjust. Next time you snap a picture of my house, I'm going to adjust your camera lens and your cataracts. My man, the phone quality also poor, but the take exceptional. I love George calling up and threatening his neighbors every single week. Hey, man, George is just sitting there minding his own business. HOA. What did that stand for again? Hot on your ass. You must be a part of the HOA when you're driving around the neighborhood snapping pictures of our houses. HOA. You know what that stands for? Me being hot on your ass. I will adjust your lens and then your cataracts. Man, I would not mess with George. 1-800-636-8686, Grand Junction. Man, what I'd give, I don't even need a good beef. I just need a good, clear phone line. That's what I need. Steve in Grand Junction. Steve, what's your beef? Yo, Steve, what's up? What's your beef? My bad. You know what? That was on me. My bad. Sorry about that. Steve, what's up? What's your beef? Oh, you see? All right, all on that. That was on me. That was on me. I went to the wrong line. So the guy, excuse me, my bad. So Steve hung up because he thought, anyway, let's go to S.A. San Antonio. Michael, good to have you. Michael, what's your beef?
Hey, what's up, Rome?
Yo.
My beef, man, I take a quick trip to the grocery store, 6-7 items, whatever the case, get to the self-checkout lane, and there's a dude there with a cart with 4,000 items. It's like, bro. Go to a lane with a person back there. Let them check you out and let the rest of us get out of here, man. That's my beef, Ron.
The thing is, that's somebody's beef every single week. The self-checkout line has become the most common and popular beef in the beef segment. Every single week, somebody's got some version of that. I know that's pissing people off because every single week, somebody says that. I need some new beef. 1-800-636-8686. Gotta go to Baco because you know I love Baco. Bakersfield, Ron in Baco. And yes, one day I will tell you why I love Baco so much. Hey, Ron, what's your beef?
Rolly, hey, my beef is having to sit behind a tanker truck or a school bus when they slam on their brakes at a railroad crossing. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I can go left or right and see the horizon. And these knuckleheads have to stop and make sure a train's not going to hit them.
I don't know, dude. I'd hate to be in a tanker and stuck on the train tracks. That could go pretty badly. But you're right. More and more freeway beefs, highway beefs, road rage beefs, bleeps in little beaters, cutting me off, flipping me off, wanting to go like it's my fault. I was driving to work this morning at about 5, going down the road, nothing going on, and some car is like lodged on the median. I'm like, dude, what? There's nobody else on the road but you. What is your car doing up on that island? How did that happen? Strange. Let's go to Salt Lake City, Troy. Great to have you, Troy. What's your beef?
Romy, my beef is with my wife and how long it takes her to get out of the car when we get somewhere. Pack your purse or whatever you're doing so I don't look like a tool holding the door for everyone waiting for my wife to get out of the car.
I got you. I mean, I did say you can beef about anything you want. Spousal beef is pretty common as well. Not as common as self-checkout beef, but spousal beef is pretty common. But you probably shouldn't air it out here. I'm not going to discourage it. I'm just saying you probably shouldn't air that out here. You should probably take that up with her. But then again, you probably have tried and it didn't work, right? Let's try San Diego. A lot of San Diego today. I like it. Great town. Max. Max, what's your beef? Max is gone. It's been one of those days. But you know what, though? This is what happens when we slam this segment right into the middle of the program in between interviews where we are multitasking. That will happen. We're not done yet. Let's try Nashville. Kenny. Hey, Kenny, what's your beef?
Hey, my beef is with people who abuse these poor, helpless cold call salesmen. When I was a starving college kid, I tried selling Cutco cutlery door to door, and I had one guy telling me that if I sold him a knife, he would cut my throat with it. I still have flashbacks. I'm out.
Dude, I feel you. That's tough, man. Knocking on doors like that is tough. That's tough. It's one thing to intrude upon somebody in the workplace. It's another to be banging on their doors. No doubt about that. However, I don't think you need to say to a young kid trying to get through college selling cutlery, if you open up that box, I'll pull one of those knives out and I will slit your throat with it. That's a bit extreme. Tough gig, man. Tough, tough gig. This is why I mean this. I respect salespeople. We're not done yet. Why don't we try... OKC, Carlton, you made it in. Carlton, what is your beef?
Rome, my beef is with these hot chicks at stoplights that want to decide to pick their nose. Stop ruining my fantasy. I'm out.
That's original. No, I mean, that's original. I've never heard that before. Hey, man, it's their nose. They're stuck in a light. Can't they do what they want? If they want to jam a digit into their beak, can't they do that? Let's try Ken in Linden to wrap this thing. Ken, what's your beef?
Well, my beef is with, I'm a tank truck driver, and my beef is with a-holes that want to drive up my tailpipe when I stop at a railroad crossing because it's a federal law. It's not that I can't see whether there's a train coming. It's a federal law that you stop at all railroad crossings.
My brother, rack him. There you go, Ken. Thank you very much for clarification. Got that, a-hole? It's a federal law. It's not because I can't see whether or not there's a train. We're stopping because it's a federal law. Get off my ass. Good job, Ken. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. We are joined right now by wide receiver Nico Collins. Nico, it is great to have you on. How you feeling? What's up?
What's up? How you doing, Jim?
Good, dude. Good. Listen, other than trying to keep your mind and body right, bring me up to date. Mm-hmm. How have you been spending your off season? What have you been getting into?
Yeah, man, I've just been chilling so far, man. You know, after the season ended, you know, I kind of took the whole month of February off, you know, so I'm back at it. You know, I started cranking on my off-season grind the end of February, early March, you know, just getting the body back used to it, you know, back to the basics, you know, just getting the body back, you know, getting ready for a long season, man, you know, just ready to pick up where we left off. You know,
hey, Nico, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was going to say, I mean, is that what it takes? Like, when you go through the grind, there's no way any of us understand what it's like to play in that league and put your body and mind through it. Does it take, like, a whole month of just shutting it down to get right?
Yeah, yes, sir, most definitely. Because, you know, we start now from March until, you know, until January, hopefully, you know, if not the Super Bowl. So that's a long season. So you want to take that time off after the season in February so you can reboot to get ready for a long season, man, because 17 games, you know, if not 20, it's a long season, man. And during camp and preseason, man, that's a lot of work and wear and tear on the body, man. So I just feel like you got to dial down the details and figure out what you need for you so you feel better to go out on the Sundays and shine and be yourself.
You know it. Nico Collins joining us. So let me ask you, coming off last season, I mentioned the numbers and the fact that it was a breakout season. That was the biggest, number-wise, the biggest year you've ever had. What was the biggest difference for you? What were the biggest factors that led to the way you dominated last year?
I feel like just getting the opportunity, just going out and just showing the coaches what I can do, you know. And then Bobby, you know, just giving me opportunities and Seven just trusting me. You know, going out just making plays for the offense, you know, I feel like our trust is it build every single week, every day in practice, man. You know, just going out there and just, you know, showing the coaches what I can do, you know, because my last two previous years due to injury, you know, I feel like I went into my third year with a purpose, you know, just trying to be available for my team. So I took, you know, the little things personally, you know, just going to get the extra work in on my body, you know, doing yoga, Pilates, you know, whatever the strength of my core growing, man, so I could be available for the team, man. And, I was stacking days, you know, just throughout the season, through camp, first preseason, just every day, just building, just to get 1%. And I just feel like everything just fell in place, you know, but it's on the rise right now.
Hashtag stacking days, man. Isn't that the truth? Stacking days.
You gotta stack, dude.
You know what's really interesting when you said it's one thing. I think about when you think about NFL players, you think about weight room monsters. But you mentioned a couple of things, yoga and Pilates. What do those two things do for you?
Man, yoga, you know, it strengthens you, you know, it relaxes your mind, you know, it gets you relaxed, you know, open up your muscles. And Pilates, man, is pretty much getting you stronger in the positions where you feel the weak is at, you know, because as a receiver, you know, you're detailing, you're cutting, you know, you're going 90, 45 degrees, you know, you're detailing everything, you know. So I feel like with Pilates, you get that motion, you know, you get that in range, you know, so you stay in that in range and, you know, strengthen it, you know, so you don't come fourth quarter when you're tired, you know, and that tired rep come, your body and is used to it because you put your body in that stress, you know, doing, you know, Pilates when you're tired and, you know, you shake it, the last rep in Pilates, you know, so I feel like that's getting you prepped, you know, for like last play, fourth quarter, 2 minute drop, things like that.
I like it. Nico Collins joining us. You know, if we kind of want to nerd out on this, like I read some of the numbers, but PFF, Pro Football Focus, recently ranked you number 3 among all receivers behind just Tyreek Hill and Brandon Ayuk. I get that it's about team goals, but when you look at that ranking, does that feel to you like really, really high praise and you're gratified to get it? Or do you think maybe they shortchanged you and you should be ranked even higher?
Ooh. I mean, I'm blessed with whatever, man. I just feel like just for me personally, man, I'm going out and do what I can do personally. You know, I just feel like the goal I want to reach, man, you know, I want to be the best. Who doesn't? You know, I want to be the number one receiver in my position. You know, I just feel like everybody got that mindset. You should have a mindset, you know, but for me, I just want to be one of the best, you know. So I feel like, and in order to be one of the best, you got to, you know, stack your days. You know, you got to do the extra work that nobody sees. You know, you got to be a pro. You know, so that's what all what this level is about, you know, just being a pro, man. I feel like, for me, continue to stack days and, you know, just thank God for it all. You know, continue to be myself.
Dude, it's all about the unseen hours, right?
Yes, sir.
The unseen hours. I know what you're saying. So, Nico, there's also, you got a new member in the receiver room in four-time Pro Bowler, Stephon Diggs. Yeah. What was your reaction when you heard about that deal? And then how much communication have you had with him since he joined the team?
Man, I was excited. I was excited, man, because I feel like that added value to the room. You know, it added another weapon. You know, added, you know, another weapon for CJ for the offense. You know, it's just, defense got to play true now. You know, after everybody can't get doubled, everybody got to play true now. But I feel like, man, it's a great piece, great leadership in the room, man. You know, I've been watching Diggs forever, you know. So in order to, I feel like just him being a part of the room, man, it's a blessing. You know, it feels good. He's just a person I can, you know, ask questions, you know, just pick his brain, you know, just like him, Robert Woods, Noah Brown, you know, just guys like that that's been in the league, you know, that know what to expect, go about their business, man, you know. So, Diggs been real successful in this league, man, so it's only right you just learn from him. And I'm glad he's part of our room, man, and we're going to continue to, you know, get better every day. Can't wait for the season.
I was going to say, dude, it's going to create a lot of problems for defenses. You got two legitimate number ones. Nico Collins joining us. Nico, you mentioned C.J. Stroud. Like, the two of you, obviously, it helps when you have one of the best young players and one of the best young leaders in the league getting you the ball. While you guys didn't face each other in college, obviously you were aware of his talent coming out of Ohio State.
Yeah,
how long
definitely.
Did it take you to realize, though, that this dude was special both on and off the field when he joined the team last year?
Man, I feel like once you know, they came in for rookie minicamp. You know, a rookie came in during OTAs last year, you know, after the draft, man. And whenever we got our first time to, you know, go through routes on air, you know, and just seeing him, the way his footwork, you know, his ball delivery, you know, his ball placement, man, just, and it showed every day. You know, it really could show, like, his consistency, you know, the way he's going to lead. You know, he came in ready to lead. He wasn't just a rookie. He came in, you know, with that chip on his shoulder, like, about to lead his team, man. And it's been like that from day one. You know, nothing changes with Seven. You know, he that dude that you come to no matter what, you know, ask him about questions and everything, man. And it's got a limit for him, man, and I can't get it, you know. So it's going to be a great season, man. Year two for him. I feel like things are going to slow down a lot better for him, and he's going to take off.
Isn't it so hard to believe that you just said year two? It feels like he's already been in the league 5 years.
Right, man, like, that's what I'm saying. He came in just leading, like he's been here before. So,
did you Nico, you don't want to get on the wrong side of Seven, not the guy getting you the ball, but how much did you wear him out in November when Michigan beat Ohio State for a third straight year before they went on to win that natty?
Oh, you know it. He got to feel it. He got to know it, man. Last year, you know, I messed up because I didn't get no Michigan gear, but this year, I'm ready. I'm locked in.
Nico Collins joining me. One last thought. So, you know, this year, everybody's gunning for you this year, but from the sounds of things, y'all don't care. Not if you listen to D'Amico Ryans. He said, we don't care about expectations. Talk doesn't win games. Look, it seems to me you got a locker room full of alphas already, but how much does that locker room take its cue from D'Amico? What's it like to play for him?
Man, it's amazing. You know, like you said, like he's that coach that, you know, it don't matter what people say, we're going to come in and work. We're going to play all 4 quarters and leave it all out there for one another. You know, just having that relentless mindset, man, when he came in, You felt it. You felt the energy when he was just, you know, talking and like how he wanted to run his team, man. And we all bought in, you know, just being relentless, you know, having each other back, man, just leave it all out there, you know, and just go hard in practice because go hard in practice is easy in the game. And we believed in that. And I feel like just practices, man. Practice is hard. So Sunday is easy, you know. But on his plan for D'Amico, man, it's amazing. You know, I feel like he's a player coach, man. He's like, because he said in our piece before, he know what it feels like. You know, he's been the captain here in Houston. You know, and he led the team, led the defense, man. So it feels crazy because he almost like a couple years older than us. So it's like, he can pretty much suit up whenever he wants to.
He looks like it, dude.
Amazing.
He looks like it.
Right. He looked good, too. But it's amazing, man, to play for him, man. It's a blessing for sure. You know, he going to bring that dog out you and make sure, you know, you go out there and play for your brother, man. And, make sure you come out with a dub.
Dude, I'll tell you what, Nico. I like your mindset. I like your process. I like your energy. I like your vibe. You just made it better, man. I appreciate you. Listen, great to have you on the show. Let's do this again soon.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. Let's do it.
Good night now.